gift. All right, let's get into the Word of God, this great gift. I love gifts. I love gifts. Anyone, just show of hands. Have you ever taken the love language assessment? Okay, love language assessment. Do you know if gifts are in your top two? Show of hands. Okay, so Brandon, I knew it. I knew you were one of those types. I am as well. I love gifts too. It's probably my number one language is gifts. And I was thinking about this in preparation of this series, specifically today. Why do I love gifts so much? And after kind of going through a few different reasons, I was able to deduce it to the fact that gifts have a voice. Gifts speak. And they speak of how much someone loves you. When someone gives you a gift, it's a sign of love. It's a sign of awareness. Maybe they gave you a gift because they recognized and they were aware of the fact that you needed something. It's a sign of sacrifice. So in order for someone to give us a gift, it cost them something. Yeah. It cost them time. Yes. It cost them money. Yeah. They had to get uncomfortable. Gifts have a language. Gifts have a voice. And I know for most of us, if not all of us, we wake up to voices. We wake up to voices of doubt and voices of inadequacy, voices of hesitation and insecurity. I know most mornings I do. I wake up to these voices that try to hinder me and push me back. So today, I think my passion for you and my heart for you is to encourage you to begin to tune into the voice of grace every morning, the voice of grace. Someone say grace.
Grace.
The voice of grace. And that is the title of today's message. This great gift is a series about the grace of God. But let's tune in to the voice of grace. You know, I was somewhat raised in the church. I would say we went faithfully. You know, it's levels to it. Some of you were raised in the church. You were there every day for hours on end. And then some of you just attended maybe three or four times a month. And then some people were not even raised in the church. They just didn't show up. It was something that your family just did not do. And so when I came upon this word grace, I tried to define it myself. You know, what grace, you know, grace tends to sound like flowy or soft or gentle, like just grace. Right. Whenever I would think about grace, I would see like waves, like it's gracious, it's gracious, it's graceful. And so I was just trying to define it. And I really didn't know what grace meant. And I think, honestly, most Christians don't know or understand what grace is or the concept of grace. And so I'll be doing a little bit teaching today on grace. Someone say grace.
Grace.
And the Greek word for grace, go ahead and write this down, is charis. It's grace, okay? And so that first definition right there, go ahead and write these things down. Gift, favor, or blessing. Gift, favor, or blessing. That's grace. That's what it means. It's a free gift. It's unearned. I can't fix myself up enough and like, you know, do all these righteous religious things and then come to church, right? Or then come to God, right? It's a gift, and gifts are free. They're freely given. It's favor. It's a blessing. And here's another definition of grace, like a B definition, but to me, it paints a better picture. It helps me to really understand grace as it concerns my daily life, right? Grace is this. It's such a great breakdown of it. It's the Lord leaning, or he leans favorably towards me. Yeah. If you ever needed a picture of how God feels about you, you can almost see the Spirit of God every morning, every day, every moment of the day. The Spirit of God leans favorably towards you. Like he's postured to bless and to protect and to provide. Because grace is his nature. Grace is who he is. It's his character. The grace of God is the expression of his love, right? It's grace is love in action. That's what grace is. You can tell someone you love them, but you got to show it. And God shows it through his grace. Someone say grace. And so if you ever needed a picture of the Lord and how he feels about you for the rest of your life, every morning, every day, I want you to picture him ready to bless you.
Wow.
I want you to picture the Lord smiling over you. Right. I want you to picture that he's proud of you. And it's even way back in the Old Testament, because the concept of grace in the Old Testament was very gray. And people didn't know if God was gracious or not, but it does say that he's a gracious God. Moses wrote that he's a gracious God. Now, we saw the fulfillment of that grace through Christ. And so now we understand grace a little bit better in this new dispensation, right? Meaning how God approaches you and pursues you. It's a dispensation of grace. It's a dispensation of power. I mean, of favor and of love. And so you do understand that we are in the year of 2024 AD. And AD does not mean after death. It is Anno Domini. Anno Domini. And it means in the year of our Lord's favor, in the year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. So mankind has been under the favor of God. Come on now, we can celebrate it. Mankind, you, me, all of us, them, they, even though we often don't know it, we've been under the favor of God since Jesus finished his work on the cross. And so we're under the favor of God until Christ comes back to redeem all things. It's really good news. And so in the Old Testament, the Levitical priesthood, they would bless the people with this priestly blessing. And part of that blessing was the Lord smile upon you. That's the grace of God. So today, I want to share with you three things that grace speaks over you. Every day, three things that grace speaks over you every single morning that you wake up, because grace has a voice. Number one, grace says, I am forgiven. Grace says, I am forgiven. Someone say forgiven.
Forgiven.
That's what it says every morning. So we're going to go over to Romans chapter 3. We've been encouraging you to bring a physical Bible, if you can, to church. And if not, we have you covered on the screens, but Romans chapter 3 is in your New Testament. You're going to go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Okay. And I'm going to start reading at verse 22. I want to take my time because, like I said, I believe grace is a foreign concept. But I was telling a leader in our church earlier this morning, grace is what everything in our faith hinges on. And if you understand it, you'll live a more fulfilled, joyful, peaceful life. It's really the key to everything that God has done, even when you didn't recognize, and plans to do for you. It's grace. Okay, someone say grace. So grace says, number one, I am forgiven. All right, let's go to verse 22, Romans 3. And it says this here. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. It's so simple. And this is true. This is such good news for everyone who believes, no matter who we are.
Come on.
That is such good news.
Yes.
That salvation is not hard.
Right.
A fresh start in the Lord is not a hard thing. You don't have to work for it. It's just a heart decision.
Come on.
It's a decision to turn from sin and turn to Jesus.
Yeah,
it's so simple. Someone say simple.
Simple.
It's, oh man, it's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Oh man, let me keep reading. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard.
Right.
So, okay, if you're taking notes, what is the standard? Well, you can write, the standard is the law. And many of us, we're familiar with the Ten Commandments. But there are over 600 laws from Exodus to Deuteronomy. And Paul, who wrote this letter to Christians in Rome almost 2,000 years ago, he says that we all have missed that standard. We've all missed that glorious standard. And he says that the law is holy. The law is spiritual because God is holy. God is spiritual. The law is right and we are wrong, right? And we've all fallen short of that standard. But it says this here, yet, someone say yet.
Yet.
Verse 24, God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. So what is the series? This great gift. This great gift, this great, someone say great gift.
Great gift.
It's a great gift and it's free. Gifts are free. They're free. They're not, let me tighten up. Let me clean my life up. Let me take a last puff and stomp it out. Let me, my last girl, my last man. Let me, right. Great. Grace is free.
Come on now.
And we don't have to work for it. It's a free gift.
Good.
And it says this here, he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if you're taking notes, underline that, circle it, of our sins.
Yeah.
So there is a penalty for sin.
Yes.
There is a penalty. And so all week I've been working on my smile. Because you can't preach grace all mean. Grace is good. Grace is good. But there has to be a rub.
Okay.
Right. There's a reason I need grace.
Yes.
Right. I've fallen short of the standard and there's a penalty for falling short.
Yeah.
Right. And so I would say as much, I would say this, that some of us are in Christ, but we're still in sin. Right. And so part of the penalty for I am a Christian, I am a follower of Christ, but I'm dabbling in sin, is part of that penalty is you're pushing back the things that God could be doing sooner because you still are holding on to the world.
Yes.
And so there are three penalties for sin, if you're taking notes. The first penalty is this, is death. Right. And the word death means separation.
Right.
And so I'm going to break down the three deaths that sin brings into our life. The first death that sin brings into our life is a separation from God's best. Number one, death means separation. So it separates us from God's best.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Go back to the garden. They sinned and they were kicked out.
Yep.
They had no needs. They were, people say Solomon was the richest man to ever live. I don't know. I debate that.
Yeah.
The Bible even says that, but I debate the Lord on that, even though he's never wrong. I kind of think it was Adam.
Yeah.
Revelation. I kind of think he owned everything at one point.
Yeah.
Solomon never owned everything.
True.
I kind of think all of his needs were met.
Yeah.
And he lived in perfect peace. But when he sinned, it pushed them away from God. So I see now part of the penalty on this side of heaven is that it gets between me and the good plan of God. Okay. The second penalty of death, separation, is physical death.
Wow.
It's where the soul leaves the body. Because here's the idea, if you're taking notes, I am a soul. I have a spirit. I live in a body. You are a soul. Your soul is immaterial. You are a spirit.
That's right.
You're spiritual and you have a spirit, which is your life source. And so when you pass away, your soul leaves your body.
Yes.
Your body falls.
Right. Yeah.
Adam and Eve were never meant to die. This is why when they sinned, God had to separate them from the tree of life. Because had they partook of knowledge of good and evil, and then continue to eat from the tree of life, we would have been stuck in sin and death forever. So in his grace, he had to separate them from something they had abused. Because sex is good. Let me take an example. But it's only good in the context of God's word and instruction. Right? It's good. It's good to know that there is, let me break. Ooh, this is so good. I just called this. It is good to be aware of good and evil.
Yes, yes, yes.
But it's not good to partake in good and evil.
No.
So know that the tree is there.
Come on.
But don't touch it.
Yeah.
Right? And so when they sin, the soul died. This is why Easter is such a powerful thing. This is why when someone dies that we love, it hurts. Because though death is common, it is not natural.
Nope.
Did you catch that? It's common,
right. But
it's not natural.
Yeah.
All right. And then there's the third level of the penalty. It's spiritual death. Right? Because God is the source of life. And so if you die and you have not given your life to Jesus, your soul goes to hell, which is eternal separation from the source of
life.
So it's levels to it. It's in this life is sin separating me from God's best. We die. And then there's the separation. But the good news, it says, is that he freed us. Let's pull it back up. Verse 24, from the penalty of our sins.
Yes.
For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. It's that simple. So sin leads to death. Here's the good news. Christ was sinless. For God so
loved
the world that he sent his one and only
Son,
whomsoever shall
believe
in him shall not
perish,
but inherit eternal
life.
Because he lived a sinless life, and when he went to the cross, he took all of our sin.
Yes.
And thank God for his grace, because he died a death that we don't want to die. And that's why it's so simple to just say, Lord, I repent of my sin. And Jesus, I give my life to you. I believe in you. It's grace. And so when we put our faith in Christ, here it is, God imputes, someone say imputes. He imputes the righteousness of Jesus on us. So when he sees us, he does not see our sin. He sees the blood of his Son. He sees the blood, right? The blood sacrificed, satisfied the penalty.
Yes.
And whenever the Father sees the blood, he cannot judge. He only judges sin. But that sinless blood that takes away the sins of the world. If you're grateful, can we just celebrate? Come on. If you're grateful for your forgiveness, for the grace of God, hallelujah. Come on online. Put a fire in the chat. Put some something. Celebrate the Lord. Here it is. All of my past, present, and future sins are forgiven. This has to be at the core of your understanding of who God is. God is not mad with me. And I no longer have to live in guilt and shame. Because grace says, I am forgiven. And I love it. Romans, go home and read Romans 3, 4, and 5. That's your homework this week, those chapters. And just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about how much he loves you and about how Christ has you covered. The Bible says that though sin, as sin increased, grace abound more and more. Right, right. So if sin goes here, grace goes here. If sin goes here, grace goes here. Right? If sin goes here, grace goes here. If it goes here, grace goes here. Right? As we sin, this is not giving you a green light to sin, but this is helping you to understand that in your members is what Paul calls it, your body. Paul, the greatest preacher to ever live. He planted churches all over Rome. He's part of the reason why we're in this room as Gentiles. He said that, here it is, I do things that I don't want to do. But then Christ came to him and he said, Christ told Paul, but my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes.
Because though you're broken, I still have a call on your life.
Yes.
And I chose you before you were born. And there's a destiny on your life and a purpose on your life. So don't allow your guilt and your shame to speak you out of the good plan that the Lord has for you. Wow. As sin increased, grace abounds all the more. Number two, grace says, I am free. I am free. There's a freedom that grace brings into our lives. Grace is so good. Grace doesn't put the pressure of people on us. People put pressure. Life, the brokenness of this world, it puts pressure, but grace, there's a freedom. Ooh, love the grace of God. There's a freedom. Grace is not heavy. It's not burdensome. Jesus even said, cast your burdens at my feet. Yeah. Song number three, everything at your feet, yeah. Everything, little things in between. Like it's, I'm putting my burdens at his feet, right? Because he told me to. And then he says, I'll teach you the rhythms. There's my waves, right? So I was kind of right when I didn't understand it as a kid. He said, yeah, the rhythms of grace. He said, follow me. I don't lay heavy things on you. There's an ease. And grace doesn't hold us back, or it doesn't hold you down. Grace frees you. Right? And it says this here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Can I take my time here? It's just one verse. All right. Lean into this. Open your heart. Receive this breakthrough. Grace has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. There are three words there. Grace has freed us so that we may enjoy the benefits of freedom. Christ wouldn't have went through all of that trouble and pain and death in order for you to inherit such a hard life. Grace frees us to enjoy life. Next week may be devoted to how to enjoy life. How to pause, give you some tools on how to pause and reflect on God's goodness and put a smile on your face. And I know you got some things going on, but you can still enjoy life. It's grace. Someone say it's grace. It's grace. Enjoy. Someone say benefits. So there are benefits associated with being in Christ. There are more benefits than fire insurance. Oh, man, thank the Lord I ain't going to hell. Is that all you want from Jesus? I mean, let's think about this. The creator of the universe, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All you want is forgiveness and just forgive me one more time, Lord. I never do it again. I did it. Forgive me again, Lord. I did it again. Forgive me. All you want is that more sin and grace. That's all. Come on now. There are more benefits. There are more benefits. We got to get past the elementary, Lord, forgive me. And no, we got to move into the prosperous things. All right. Jesus said, I've come to give you a life and a life more abundant. Grace extends beyond our need for forgiveness. We have to understand this. I remember when I came to Christ at the age of 19, all I knew were relationships, starting at the age of 14 to 19. And God said, if you would do this relationship thing my way, if you would allow me to apply my grace at a greater degree, in a different way, there are benefits associated with honoring me in this area. Grace, there are benefits of freedom. And so Christ has freed us and we can enjoy, and there are benefits. So here's the takeaway. Grace doesn't place limitations on my life. It frees me to pursue God's best for my life. Grace doesn't place limitations. Worship, give me 3 minutes. Grace doesn't place limitations. I hear him creeping back there, Jason laughing. That's that creepy grace. Grace, give me 3 minutes. I'm working, I'm sweating. I'm doing my part now, Grace. So It doesn't place limitations. I need you to understand this. I place limitations. We were running late today. And we're speeding down 270 for the 830. My wife asked me, "How you doing, babe? It's going to be okay. We're going to make it." I said, "I'm fine." I said, "I have grace." Right, I'm the lead pastor. I got grace. I have a grace that y'all don't have. I was building this church before y'all were here. I was on time before you were here. There's a grace on my life.
Yes, yes. You're a high
priest. Hey, amen. Amen. I'll receive it, mama. Yeah. So let me help you though. Grace says I am free to, number one, heal. I'm going to write this down, take a picture. Heal. You're free to heal. You're free to become whole from the brokenness of your past. That's why you use grace to heal. Benefits. Right? So what are you saying, Pastor? Well, okay, God is meeting me in my brokenness. But his grace is pulling me up so I can begin to take steps forward in life, not go backwards. Think about the woman caught in adultery. They caught her in the act of adultery. I always ask, where was the man? But they caught her in the act. They threw her at the feet of Jesus, right? And so we may even teach on this story later in the series, but she's in her darkest season of her life. And the Bible says he bent down. He knelt down. Now, in the Hebrew, the word knelt means grace. He leaned into her favorably. And he said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" They had left. She looked around. She said, "I can't find any." He says, "Nor do I condemn you." He got down in her darkest, dirtiest season of despair. He lifted her up. And he said this. Here it is. This is grace. He said, "I don't condemn you either. Now leave your life of sin." So I am free to, number two, grow. God gives me grace to grow. And in every season, I need a new grace for this new rub in my marriage. For the fact that my kids are getting older and they got their own opinions, their own thoughts. They hard-headed. But I need a new grace for them. I need to grow. I'm free to grow. I'm free to grow in my mind and my soul. There's no limit. Only you put limits on your growth. You're free to grow. You're free to grow. Number three, you're free to build. You're free to build the life that God has graced you with. Ooh. Well, when you understand grace, you understand that, man, you have a life.
That's right.
You have a life. And I love your life for you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But when you understand grace and the plan that God has for you, you'll say, "Bro, girl, God bless your life."
That's right.
We're doing life together.
That's right.
But God has also graced me with my life, with my path, my timing. My blessings. There's a grace on your life. There's a blessing and a favor for your life that I'll never have access to. And there's a grace and a favor and a blessing for my life that you'll never have access to. And I think what has muddied this up has been social media. Because we get in there and the grace gets muddy. And it's like, man, they are where I want to be one day. You forgot that you're already in the perfect place. You're already in the center of God's grace and his will. I don't have to be rushed. I'm not competing. It's freedom and just living my life. One of the greatest decisions I've ever made was to unfollow everyone on social media. Man, I follow five people, right? My wife, my oldest son, my nephew, this anesthesiologist in Chicago, and because he's godly and he makes a lot of great posts. And I used to want to be a doctor. So, and I like church. And so when people ask me, you heard what so-and-so? I have no idea. I have no idea. You heard what so-and-so said and what they got? I don't frankly care. I'm too busy wearing my shirt of many colors. You know what I mean? I frankly don't care. I don't really care. I got my blessing. I'm wearing my blessing. Someone complimented me earlier for my shirt. I love you, Miss Wellman. Where Miss Wellman at? I love you. She said, you better wear that shirt, boy. I love you. I can't see you, but I love you. You out there. Mom, if you're watching, I love you too. Well, I'm walking in my grace. So you don't, okay, they're there, whatever. They may stop there. You walking in your grace, you're like, hey, thought you, hey, hey. Walk in your grace. There was a grace on Joseph. There's a grace on David. There's a different grace on David than it was for Saul.
Speak on it.
David had the grace to be the greatest. Saul was a pioneer. David was the greatest. You're free. Someone say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. I'm free. Number three, grace says I have a future.
Good. So good.
I have a future. So much of grace. Let me. I'm gonna land it here soon. Understand this about the concept of grace. This is vital. So much of grace, if you're taking notes, has to do with redeeming us from the dysfunction of our past. So much of grace has to do with cleaning that up, getting us on our two feet, so that we can move forward into the future God has for us. That's grace. Because a lot of you are in here today and you feel as though this has destroyed this. There's no way that God can clean this up and make this right. So therefore, I have no hope for this. And so much of God's grace reaches way beyond before you were born. And it covers all of that. And it cleanses all of that. And it has the capacity to make this greater.
Yeah, so good.
And so what do I do with that kind of gift? A gift that has the capacity to clean all this up, to make sense of all of this, to get me strong in the present and to push me here. What do I do with that gift? You just receive it. You just receive it. You receive it like Peter did. You receive it like Rahab the prostitute in the book of Joshua. You just receive it. You receive it like Zacchaeus, who was sitting in a tree. Zacchaeus was a bad man. He owed everybody money. But Jesus walked by and said, hey, I want to dine with you tonight because I got something I want to give you. That's when grace had entered his life. And he said, I got a future for you. So grace can clean all this up. It can clean this up. But grace says, I have a future. Great grace says, I have a future. So I want you to write this down. By God's grace, my future will be greater than my past. By God's grace, my future will be greater than my past. It's the grace of God. It's the love. It's the unconditional love of God. He says this here, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says this here. It should come up. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans of good. Someone say good.
Good.
Not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Yes.
By God's grace, my future will be greater than my past. And that can start today. You just simply have to receive it. Even for the believers who feel like you're behind or you're indifferent to God right now, or God's mad at you. Today, receive grace again.
Amen.
receive grace again. If you've been blessed by the word of God, let's put our hands together. Receive grace.